That Podcast Thing presents Home Movie Club, originally recorded July 2017. Episode number 10, Release the Kraken!
Hello and welcome to Home Movie Club. In this episode, we have been watching the 2006 highest grossing movie, Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest. Now, this obviously is Pirates 2, and Pirates 1 never made it onto the list, so we will cover that in a separate episode, which you hopefully have already listened to, because it would be released before this one. So, if you've not listened to it, then go and have a look for a previously not on Home Movie Club for Curse of the Black Pearl. As always, I am delighted to say that I am joined by Joe Carter.
Hello!
Daisy Swaffer.
Savvy.
And my darling wife, Sammy Kelsch.
Avast, sweetheart.
Avast indeed. Avast what? No one's saying.
Wouldn't you so, like to know?
Yes, the Disney film based on a Disney park ride starring Johnny Depp and a bunch of seamen. Get that out of the way again.
You had to. You just had to, didn't you?
I had to.
Single-handedly lowering the tone.
That's what I'm here for. So, let's have a quick look at everybody's opening thoughts. Joe?
This space is intentionally left blank.
Right. I guess that's as valid as anything. Daisy?
I tried very hard to separate the art from the artist in this movie, and even despite that, this was a bad movie.
Yeah, I think we'll be getting that. That's two out of two for semen-based movies that are not great. however, Sammy, did you enjoy this or not?
Do you want my polite opinion or my honest opinion?
Can we have a mixture of both? Can it be honest, but maybe you use, like, you substitute some words in that are more family-friendly so my mum doesn't panic?
I am always family-friendly. I rediscovered yesterday evening that there is a reason that I have not watched this film since the Christmas after its home video release when we watched it with my family.
Yes, I think I only ever saw this film initially on DVD, as that was also bought for me as a Christmas present by my aunt and uncle. Although, I did ask them for it, so I can't complain about it. I really enjoyed the first film. I thought the first film was really good. This one, however, had some problems. Mainly around the editing, I think, and the pacing as a whole. Having looked at this film and the last film are both pretty much the same run length, this film felt probably twice as long.
Oh, at least.
We'll get to it as we go through the synopsis, but it really did seem to drag in many places.
And there was no character development in all that time either.
Nope,
none
this
whatsoever.
This isn't much of a character development type narrative, but
no.
Still.
No, but there was character development in the first one, so, you know.
Maybe they blew their entire character development budget in one shot. it's like when the pilot episode of like a sci-fi show or something has all kinds of crazy 3D and effects and stuff, and then they're like, oh shoot, they've given us the green light, but not the budget to actually keep doing this, and suddenly the bar just lowers itself for the rest of the series. Maybe it was like that, but with character development.
Possibly.
I don't know how these budget things work in Hollywood.
No. So, Pirates of the Caribbean 2, Dead Man's Chest. As I've said, we will briefly run over what happened in the first film in a slightly separate podcast. So, go and listen to that first if you haven't seen the film. And as always, if you haven't seen this film, A, be aware that there will definitely be spoilers in it within this podcast. And B, you're not missing out. Don't feel you have to. So, synopsis. Starts off, and it's raining, which seems to basically set the mood for the entire film. There is a wedding apparently happening, although it's not overly clear that is the case. You see Elizabeth Swann, played here by Keira Knightley, is apparently to get married to Legolas. Will Turner, played by Orlando Bloom.
In fairness, his wig is very different in this film franchise.
Oh yeah, we're going to have double Orlando Bloom.
We are indeed.
Yeah, it is back-to-back Bloom weeks, guys.
It's sword play this weekend.
And then arrow play next weekend.
And then arrow play next weekend. All very dangerous. And don't tossing? Try this at home, kids.
And dwarf tossing?
Dwarf tossing. Yeah, we don't get dwarf tossing in this, though.
Also, don't try that at home.
No. Unless you and the dwarf are
very good friends. Jinx!
The wedding is disrupted by the arrival of Lord Cutler Beckett.
Was it disrupted? I mean, she was sat there on her own, and then we kind of see people riding through the streets, and then suddenly there's a whole load of people in uniform there, and I don't understand why there wasn't actually a wedding happening.
It did seem that the wedding either hadn't started yet, and she was just standing out in the rain for no logical reason.
Yeah, that seems a little weird.
Like, everything was getting ruined, like her dress, her hair, her flowers, everything was just getting drenched, and she was looking really miserable, and...
Yeah, it did almost seem like the wedding had already been called off before any of this kicked off.
Yeah, that's but what that I wasn't thought. Explained at all.
No, so that may be a cutscene that we missed, or I don't know. So yes, Lord Beckett, played by Tom Hollander, who works for the East India Trading Company, who almost inevitably in these things is shown as being the bad guys.
Mm. I'm totally on team East India Trading Company side, though.
He turns up, he has warrants for the arrest of Will and Elizabeth, along with a warrant for who is now ex-Commodore James Norrington, played by Jack Davenport, because they had assisted at the end of the first movie, they had assisted Captain Jack Sparrow, played by Johnny Depp, to evade being hung for piracy.
Did Norrington assist as well?
Well, he did say... Yeah,
his ineptitude.
Well, it was not just that, but he also said that he would give Jack Sparrow a day's head start to escape, which kind of made him complicit in the
Yeah, they've
escape.
Gone through a lot, hadn't they?
Not all of it made a lot of sense.
Quite remember everything, but yeah.
So Beckett turns up and arrests Will and Elizabeth. Elizabeth is thrown into jail, and Will is... pretty much blackmailed into going to find Jack Sparrow and to get hold of the magical compass that Jack has, because this apparently shows the thing that the owner most desires.
Yes, it's like the Mirror of Erised all over again.
But we don't find that out until much later.
No.
Well, it's not properly explained until much later, certainly. I think it was sort of, yeah. Back on the Black Pearl, which is Jack Sparrow's infamous pirate ship, Jack is being hassled by his crew because they've not done any proper piratage recently. But he says he's actually on something and has randomly stolen a piece of paper that had a picture of a key that they wanted to find.
It's a piece cloth. Of cloth. Yeah.
It's a piece of cloth, possibly.
What I don't understand is why at that point he was after that key, because that's before he knows that Davy Jones is coming for him.
Yeah, again, didn't necessarily seem to fit particularly well.
No, he knows. He knows that he's coming because he knows it's been 13 years. He wasn't surprised.
No. So the Black Pearl sets off, and that night Jack has a visit from Bootstrap Bill Turner, who is Will Turner's long-deceased father, who has now turned into a barnacle.
Yeah, that always sounds really weird, but it's completely true.
Yeah. Bootstrap Bill, played by Stellan Skarsgård, and I've probably completely massacred his name.
I imagine.
Apologies there. Who actually plays Dr. Eric Selvig in the Marvel movies, which is why we were sitting there going,
that's why looks familiar.
Right? Yeah, a lot of
that's
makeup
exactly
here.
What we
but...
did last night.
But yes, that's who he plays, who's probably most people know him as now.
He's the dude in Thor.
Yes. Will's father is now part of the crew of the Flying Dutchman, which is Davy Jones's haunted/cursed ship.
Pretty awesome ship.
It is, if you like ships. Bill tells Jack that the debt must be paid to Davy Jones, and that Davy Jones is coming for him, and that also he has dispatched the Kraken to get...
Release the Kraken!
He has released the Kraken.
Although at that point, he just calls it a Leviathan.
True.
That's the only time it's referred to as a Leviathan. After that, it's always the Kraken.
Or Kraken, or something. Yeah. The general idea being that Jack did a deal with Davy Jones to raise the Black Pearl from the depths and make him captain for 13 years.
It's an odd number of years.
It is exactly an odd number of years, yes.
Yeah. Well, many things in this film are quite odd, so...
Mm.
Because of the fact that the Kraken's after Jack, he then panics and informs the crew that they have to get to dry land. So they head straight to dry land and beach the ship, and everybody runs onto the island. Unfortunately, the island is full of somewhat stereotypical island natives who are cannibals.
Because of course they were.
Yeah. Yes, obviously.
Yeah, that wasn't uncomfortable at all.
Has anyone fact-checked the historical accuracy of this? Because I feel like my discomfort should be justified with receipts, but as it is, I feel uncomfortable.
I'm going to go with it's justified with receipts, even if it did happen, because, you know, it was, painful and uncomfortable, and...
Yeah. Somehow, we're not quite sure how, Jack has convinced the islanders that he is in fact their god, and they are now basically serving him and worshipping him, although actually they do intend to eat him.
I'm okay with that.
That's the alternate ending we would have preferred.
Yes. Shorter film, more burning to death.
Yes. Sounds good to me.
The rest of the crew being either captured or indeed consumed.
Ew.
Will manages to find Jack.
After we get the whole weird montage of him going to every place that Jack could possibly be.
Yes, he has a bit of a search around for him in Tortuga and other places, and eventually he gets shown where the Black Pearl has been beached.
At least they put it in a montage instead of showing us full scenes.
True. Mm. So he, Will gets onto the beach. He is also captured by the natives and gets presented to their god, i.e. Jack Sparrow, who complains that Will isn't meaty enough. Again, weird. So Will is then put in with the other crewmen in a big swinging hanging ball because...
Ball.
A ball made of bones.
Ball made of bones.
Bone ball. Yep.
Which gives them the first indication that this film is based on some theme park ride, because they have a scene where they are swinging the ball backwards and forwards, gladiator style, to try and escape. Half of the crew die, and no one seems to bat an eyelid.
And notably, that was the ball of crew filled with the people of colour.
This is true.
Yeah.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
Nice.
That was good. Well done.
Real classy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So hijinks ensue. Eventually they escape and run off to where the Black Pearl is being refloated. Relaunched. Relaunched, probably more accurate.
I don't think refloated is a technical nautical term.
No, but I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, can we introduce it as a technical nautical term?
So they eventually make it back to the Black Pearl that is being relaunched, and they all get on it, including Jack, despite several hilarious comedy, cartoonish escapades while he's trying to escape from the burning pile of wood.
I think probably those kinds of scenes were funny for kids on their first viewing.
I think a lot of this seems to strike me as something that's probably sounded really good when looked at on paper in a Disney boardroom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So yes, they all thankfully escape on the Black Pearl, despite the fact that Jack is still aware that if he goes into deep water, the Leviathan, or indeed Kraken, will probably come for him. Meanwhile, back in Port Royal, Elizabeth managed to escape jail because, obviously, of course she does. You don't want her sitting in jail for the entire time. That would be really boring. Assisted by her father, who is then also captured and thrown into jail himself. Elizabeth meets up with and threatens Lord Beckett.
Yay!
And then basically threatens him to the point where he promises to give Will and, I'm assuming herself, I don't know, the pardons in exchange for the enchanted compass, which is what they sent Will off in the first place to do.
Mm. Yeah, but she got one letter of mark validated. So that covers one person. Yeah. And then she was just like, great, so I'm off now. And I was
thinking, don't worry about the rest of it.
There's at least two of you definitely want to save.
Yeah, that was really bizarre.
Yeah.
And speaking of stereotypical natives and uncomfortable scenes, Jack and his crew visit the priestess Tia Dalma, who is a voodoo lady with a most unconvincing accent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the actress is also the person who played Moneypenny in the last two James Bond films.
Really?
Which is why I was going, she looks familiar and I can't think why.
How? Huh?
Moneypenny in the last two James Bond films, Skyfall and Spectre, were played by Naomi Harris, who is also the person who plays this.
Oh.
I haven't seen her.
I assume she's got better teeth in the Bond films, though.
She is much better dressed, much better teeth.
With a
and
much more convincing accent, I assume.
A lot more convincing accent, because I believe it's her own.
Oh, yes.
So, yes, they all visit the priestess.
I wrote her down as being an oracle.
I guess she is. She's sort of a voodoo oracle priestess sort of stereotype. She tells them that the key they're looking for is actually the key to unlock the dead man's chest, where Davy Jones's cut-out heart is hidden. So until that point, they didn't even know what the key was for. So again, why did they take it? And also points out the key is in the possession of Davy Jones, because that's the most obvious place for it to be. Tia also gives Jack a jar of dirt to protect him from Jones.
I've got a jar of dirt.
Since Jones is cursed to touch land only once every 10 years, apparently. Although I don't know how that works, because that doesn't make any sense either. So he's supposed to do sprinkle it at him.
Elizabeth has stowed away on a ship and disguised herself as a man and is managing to trick the whole ship into thinking there's some kind of spirit with her dress and such like.
That was hilarious. I love that. They're like, oh, it's some kind of sign. And then she just is like, oh my God, these guys are useless. And she just
literally spells it out in fire for you and you're looking over the outside of the ship. What is wrong with you?
They're like, oh, look, what's that over there?
So that's how Elizabeth manages to convince an entire crew of merchant sailors to take her to Tortuga. So they go off trying to find the Flying Dutchman. They come across a wrecked ship that Jack manages to convince Will is the Flying Dutchman, sends Will aboard to settle his debts with Jones. However, it turns out that this is just a wrecked ship.
I was confused there. Did they think that that was... Because Will obviously did, but did the rest of them think that that was the Flying Dutchman? Or
they
can't
I'm
have
fairly... My understanding was fairly sure that Jack certainly knew it wasn't, and it was just bait.
Yeah, it was definitely bait.
Yeah. So the Flying Dutchman appears from under the sea, and
under
a whole bunch...
Under the sea.
Fishmen. Fish-like creatures. Creatures that have been merged with other creatures that are from the sea. SpongeBob SquarePants. The whole lot
I thought they were really well done. The
crew. Oh, God.
And
very
Davy
well.
Davy Jones himself. I don't know what means they made. Maybe a mix of prosthetics and CG. I don't know. But they were really good. They were largely unique. And you could see what kind of creatures they were.
And very creepy.
Yeah, the visuals. Yeah. The visuals of the Squidward pals was very well done.
Yeah. Davy Jones and his crew were by far the best thing about this film.
Yes.
Yep. Davy Jones as played by Bill Nye.
Nye.
The science guy.
No, not that science guy.
That's a different Bill.
Will is captured by the crew of the Flying Dutchman, and Davy Jones reunites with Jack, forcing him to gather 100 souls in 3 days for his deal to be called off.
He just magics Jack aboard. It's kind of brilliant.
Well, I think he magics himself to the pearl.
Oh,
I'm not,
okay.
That, to me, I saw that as Jack was looking through the telescope at the Flying Dutchman. And then suddenly, Davy Jones noticed him, looked at him, and suddenly he was there. Mm. So Jack has to go and find 100 souls, so obviously he heads straight to Tortuga, whereas Will is drafted onto the Dutchman, where he finally gets to meet his father.
I'm not sure what the strategy is for getting 100 souls there.
I think his plan was literally get 100 people onto his boat as crew, and then use them as the souls.
It's not a very good plan, because they only manage 4.
Yeah, it's a terrible
plan. I'm not sure good
plans
and Jack Sparrow are particularly, you know...
He's usually got a better plan than that.
Really?
So yeah, Jack and his crew stop in Tortuga to recruit a crew, ostensibly as victims for Davy Jones, where Elizabeth and a drunken Norrington join them.
Yay, Norrington.
Norrington, who for no apparent reason is at Tortuga and is heavily drunk.
Yeah, but I like the fact that... There's like the fight ensues and then Elizabeth just pops up and whaps him over the head with a bottle. It's like, right, we're not having none of that.
Yep.
It's rather cool.
Yep. Well done.
Elizabeth, when they actually allowed her to have some agency in a scene, was very, very good. She was awesome. and the only decent female in the entire film.
Yes.
Yeah, but unfortunately it didn't happen often enough.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So they grab a crew, or at least the remnants of a crew, and head out. Jack and his first mate, Gib, realize that Beckett wants the compass to seek the chest that will allow them to... basically allow the East India Company to use his Jones's heart to control the Flying Dutchman.
And thus control the sea.
And basically destroy all piracy on the sea.
Oh, is that the motivation?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah,
I never actually understood what the motivation for the East India Company was there.
Yeah, the idea being that if they have control over Davy Jones, they can wipe out piracy, because piracy is obviously costing them because they're trading vessels. But also they can use it to fight away against other trading companies, so the Dutch East India Trading Company and other nations. The East India Trading Company was basically set up at a time where everybody was competing for spices, for
tea,
tea, tobacco, slaves. Tea. So it was a pretty unpleasant time, to be honest. Although it was very instrumental in the creation of the British Empire, which, as we all know, was a lovely thing that everybody should celebrate. Meanwhile, back on the Flying Dutchman, Will manages to trick Jones into revealing the location of the key, which is hidden in one of his...
Tentacle beard things.
And while he is sleeping, manages to steal it and escape the ship, with a promise that he will come back and free his father.
Next up is the really cringy, awful, oh my god, I feel dirty, flirting with Jack and Elizabeth.
Ew!
Oh god.
Yeah,
that wasn't particularly pleasant to watch anyway, shape or form.
Extremely uncomfortable.
Yeah, I wrote yuck for that bit.
I think that's putting it mildly.
Yeah.
I was just bored. My entire thing of this entire film was, I was just bored.
Yeah, I'll agree with that one as well.
So we get to a point where they finally sail to Isla Crusade, where the chest is buried. Jack and Elizabeth and Norrington dig it up and recover it.
Well, so Will manages to escape the Flying Dutchman, right? And he goes a very short distance and happens upon another boat, and that
which just happens to be the boat that Elizabeth,
the exact boat that Elizabeth earlier had stowed away on become a man, and the dress, and so he knew from that to Tortuga, and oh my goodness, it was the most convoluted thing. Like, really, it was that close, and it just so happened to be that exact ship, really.
And then for no apparent reason, the Kraken attacks it and kills everybody on board apart from Will.
Yeah.
For no apparent reason, because at this point, although Will is on the trail of Jack, he has... I suppose he's got the key, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So that might be the reason. But then the key is just a key, so... So yes, the merchant vessel is attacked by the Kraken, and everybody on it is killed. Again, no one really bats an eyelid. However, Will also manages to escape again, by climbing into the front prow of the Flying Dutchman, if I remember rightly.
Yeah, he hides himself on board.
Which is weird, because at that point the Flying Dutchman then submerges again, and I didn't quite know how that worked.
I think that's when he jumped off the ship, because he arrives at the island separately to the crew of the Flying Dutchman.
But did he swim the entire way?
Yes, maybe. I think that's what we're supposed to believe.
Yeah, plot hole was definitely a plot hole there, because that didn't make a lot of sense.
I thought he'd just climbed inside, and because he was now inside, he wasn't going to drown.
But the ship was filling with water, including inside of it as well. It wasn't like a submarine that was pressurized. It just literally filled with water, because they're all fish people and they could therefore live underwater.
The fact that none of us are sure about this tells me that the writers didn't do a very good job of making it clear.
Mm-hmm. Or we weren't paying attention.
Because we were caring. Bored as heck.
Yeah.
Maybe. Regardless of the means or the ways or the whys, Will finally arrives at the island with a key.
But not before there's another horrible, cringeworthy flirting scene with Jack and Elizabeth.
Never ending.
God.
It's everyone's favourite ship.
It just wasn't believable in the slightest.
Yeah.
No.
Totally.
There was no reason that she would have any, feelings towards him whatsoever. The amount of times he's tried to kill her, the person she's going to marry, the fact that he's disgusting, the fact that he smells,
even regarding the fact
that it's Johnny Depp.
Does he have any redeemable part to his character? His character is just consistently awful.
Yeah.
So there's nothing there at all to make her go, oh, but, you know, there is that little glimmer of...
There is some good in him.
There really isn't.
He looks like he would have a very distinct odor.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's no way that this man smells not terrible.
Although, it's probably no different to the rest of the crew.
No, he would smell worse.
Particularly gross.
Are you kidding? He's got, like, grain alcohol seeping out of his pores, right?
He'll smell a bit of paprika from that paprika he put on his arm from the island earlier, though.
Somehow that doesn't make B.O. better.
So, yes, Will arrives planning to open the chest and stab the heart to free his father.
Yay.
However, Jack stops him from doing this because he points out that if he stabs the heart, there's no one to subdue the Kraken, and the Kraken will go crazy. So we end up with the three males in the scene being all utter idiots. Jack wanting the heart to be immortal, Norrington wanting the heart to restore his career, and obviously Will wanting the heart for saving his father, so probably the most pure of the three.
Yes.
So they have this big three-way sword fight, much to the exasperation of Elizabeth, and indeed...
Screeching at them. Literally screeching.
Yeah.
Much the exasperation of Elizabeth, and indeed the entire audience.
Yes. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
This seemed to go on for an awful long while.
It was just ridiculous as well. I mean, what the hell with the mill wheel and...
It's another one of those where I'm fairly sure sounded great in the boardroom when written down on paper and being read out by some sort of studio executive, but on film it needed so much trimming. It was slow, it was unexciting. We knew for a fact none of them were gonna die. There was no sort of tension. It was just
they could have resolved it with like the single background shot for like 10 seconds and it would have been a humorous gag and then just moved on, but the whole thing was it was bloated.
I preferred it for the bits where we were focusing on Elizabeth trying to keep hold of the chest. And we just saw that something was happening with their three-way fight in the background.
Yeah. So we had the situation where we had this three-way fight happening. We had Elizabeth and the two comedic relief from the Black Pearl trying to get first the chest off each other. And then when Davy Jones's crew arrive and storm the island, they start working together and trying to escape with the chest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just relentlessly... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it goes on for far too long, and it's just frustrating. Then you just want to know what's the end result going to be.
Exactly.
Yeah, they all sort of split up and do different things, but inevitably they all end up in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, Norrington steals the heart because Jack has hidden it in the pot of dirt for some reason.
Is that what happened to it?
Yep.
Because I saw it go in the pot of dirt, and then it wasn't in the pot of dirt later, and I didn't know where it had gone.
Yeah, Norrington basically gets to the boat, looks into the boat, and sees that half of the dirt has been strewn about the boat, but the pot is still full.
Yeah, and goes, I wonder what's in here. I wonder if this is the...
I remembered seeing that someone had seen that, but I couldn't remember who it was, and then we never saw it.
What doesn't then get clear is how Jack didn't notice that the actual pot was even less full
because there wasn't a heart in there.
Yeah.
Well,
possibly. Put sand in the jar to fill it up.
Jack's also not that bright.
Yeah, also that.
This is true.
Norrington, he volunteers to draw them off whilst the rest of them get away, which is him just wanting to leg it with the heart.
But do we ever see him again?
Yeah, we do.
Until the end, I mean.
Oh, no, not until the end.
So we have no idea how he got away or how anything happened.
There was possibly? I don't know.
Well, Norrington runs away. Jack still believes the heart is in the jar. Jack and the crew manage to get into the longboat and row back to the Black Pearl. However, the Dutchman is there and the Dutchman attacks the Black Pearl with cannon, although the Black Pearl managed to outrun the Flying Dutchman because although the Flying Dutchman is supposed to be the fastest ship around, apparently they're not if the wind's behind them, which... Again, it makes no sense.
Especially because they can go underwater and just circumvent that entirely.
Yes, they don't need wind whilst underwater, so I don't know how that works.
I think it works because the writers forgot.
Possibly.
Yep, I think you might be right there.
Although, in fairness, submarines are also a lot slower underwater than they are above water, so it may be something
because of resistance.
That. Yeah.
I don't know, that it seems to move pretty fast during the film before that point.
True. Also, I believe it was more of a case of, well, we can't catch them straight away, let's just send the Kraken after them. So they sort of withdraw to a safe distance. The crew of the Black Pearl think they've won, and then all of a sudden, the Kraken arrives and starts tentacling everybody.
Oh, no. Tentacle buddy just way. Wants to hug them.
Yeah. Jack tries to escape by sort of fleeing in another boat, but gets a... I don't know, were we supposed to believe he gets the sort of attack of conscience and swims back to help? There is a strange and not overly well thought out plan of blowing up the Kraken by blowing up the ship. Well, again, I don't quite what that was.
Will has taken charge at this point, and I've got to say, he keeps that boat like in one piece an awful lot longer than any other boat we've seen face the Kraken, so I think he does a reasonable job.
True, although it is also the Black Pearl, so it is also a, you know, enchanted to an extent ship.
Yeah.
But the Kraken attacks, and literally everybody apart from the five or six reoccurring characters dies. Again, no one bats an eyelid. Everybody abandons the Pearl. However, after another disturbing scene of Elizabeth and Jack kissing.
Oh, God! Which Will sees as well.
I needed to bleach my eyes.
Elizabeth manages to chain Jack to a part of the ship because she realises that the Kraken's not after them, it's only after Jack.
And there's no way that he's going to stay there to sacrifice himself unless he literally can't do anything else.
Yeah.
So she secures him to the ship and then they all leave the Black Pearl. Jack actually does manage to free himself by pouring what was probably very hot wax over his hand. However, as he does this, the Kraken rises up. And in a sort of last act of defiance, Jack jumps into the maw and attacks the Kraken.
He dives sword first into its many-toothed mouth.
Yes, this is not going to end well. But the Kraken pulls the Black Pearl down and...
And we all cheer! Yay!
And we all live happily ever after! Woohoo!
Yes.
Jones believes that he has won and that the debt with Captain Jack Sparrow has been paid off, but then suddenly has a horrible thought, goes to check the
chest, yeah.
The heart's missing, but Norrington has it and he delivers it to Beckett, so Beckett gets his evil way.
Oh no!
And Norrington gets to cash in the letter of marque.
Mm. Yes, and go for a shower, finally.
Yeah.
Yay!
Probably, or at least a bath.
One would hope.
The surviving members of the Black Pearl, i.e. all the ones that were in the first film that had names, return back to Tir Dalmar.
Why do they go there, though?
Because they don't know what to do when she's mystical.
Well, why would they not just go to, you know, a bar in Tortuga or something?
Yeah. And what also doesn't explain is what all the people with candles are doing there, because this is a bayou-like swampland. There's no economy.
Yeah.
There's nowhere there's enough people, or enough jobs for people to do to have that sort of... There was, what, hundreds of people with candles, and it's like, you know, it's supposedly some sort of...
Maybe it's a funeral.
...funeral scene for Jack Sparrow, but Jack Sparrow, I never got the impression, was particularly well-liked by most people.
These Maybe they were celebrating.
Are there any people in there that we distinctly recognise, or are they just extras?
They're just extras, who have to stand in sort of thigh-deep in probably quite disgusting water by then.
I hope they got paid slightly more than the standard extra fee for that.
Fingers crossed. So yes, the surviving members of the Black Pearl are there. Tir Dalmar asks what they would do to bring Jack back, which, oddly enough, everybody said they'd do something, whereas most of them, I think, would say, sod him.
Yeah, and then you have the only conversation in this movie between the two women, but it's about Jack, so it doesn't even pass the Bechdel test.
It fails the test with... plummeting colors.
Yeah.
Yep.
In part, so... I think because there's only two women in the... Oh, no, I take it back. There were two other women in the film.
There was the two comedy ladies from the first film that reappeared in the second film.
Were they?
Oh yeah, there's one that slapped Will when he was asking about Jack.
Jack Sparrow, give him a message from me. Slap.
Yeah, but I mean that was still about the guy anyway. So.
No, I know. It doesn't redeem it.
No, I know you weren't saying
that. There is no redeeming this film.
Either, were they?
So they basically, Tia Delma suggests they retrieve Jack from the afterlife, but recommends a captain who knows those waters.
And she says that they should go to World's End.
Yes. Oh, roll credits.
Oh
no.
The next film is.
So yes, they suggest going and getting Jack back, and to help them, they bring back Captain Barbarossa from the first film, played by Geoffrey Rush. But yeah, so Captain Barbarossa turns up and asks the fate of his ship. His ship being the Black Pearl, last seen being pulled under the water.
Yeah, it got eaten by the Kraken.
Cue the only good thing about this entire film, the final music.
Yeah. Yay! I've got to say, the music throughout this film was excellent. I really enjoyed the music.
Hans Zimmer did a very good job with this one.
Yeah, it really does a great job of telling you that things are supposed to be exciting.
Yeah.
Even when they're not.
It was the kind of music kind of made you go, "Oh, yes, this is a fight scene. Yes, it might be good. It's not, but I'm still enjoying it because the music's telling me I should."
Yeah, so unfortunately, there is a film to follow that is Pirates of the Caribbean
and
3.
And we have to watch it for
And it made the list. Sorry, everybody, but it isn't for a while. As I said at the start, I have seen this film. This is now my second viewing of this film. The first time I watched it was on DVD after Christmas, and I was bored senseless during that watching. And it has not improved with age or anything, because it was still deadly boring.
Mm-hmm.
So that was Pirates of the Caribbean 2, Dead Man's Chest. Next time, we will be having more Bloom. We are having a Bloom double bill with Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers. So
Which
part
is,
two of a trilogy.
Even though it's part two of a trilogy, this one's actually a vaguely decent film.
Yep. And unfortunately, we aren't watching the first film. So again, there will also be a supplementary previously not on HMC. But yes, that is for next time. So in 2 weeks' time, we'll be looking at The Two Towers by J.R.R. Tolkien. That was Pirates of the Caribbean. Another film like Mutiny on the Bounty that,
but I mean,
really
Mutiny on the Bounty was just long and boring. This was a terrible film.
Yes, probably, yeah. So yes, final thoughts, Joe?
I'm just so glad it's over.
It's not over. Daisy?
It's over this week.
Davy Jones and his crew and the music were very good in this film.
Yes, I'll give it that.
That is... if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all type thing. those specific things about the film were very good.
And Sammy?
You know, for a franchise where the initial film honestly pretty much stood on its own as a story and didn't need a sequel, God knows it didn't need 7, and I'm not entirely sure why this one was followed by as many as it was, because how did it gross that much? It was not good.
Yeah, and I guess my final thoughts are I still found it ridiculously boring. They didn't need to be a sequel, other than the fact that, you know, there was obviously an incentive to make money. And yes, I am glad that we are now through this one. And next time it will be a film that I really love, which is The Two Towers. Although, again, it'll be the original cut of Two Towers, so only 3 hours long, not 4.5 to 5 hours or whatever the re-release of it is. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Apologies if you're a big Pirates of the Caribbean fan, but not that much of an apology. I would like to thank my fellow sufferers in this film. Joe Carter?
I don't even have any words left.
Daisy Swaffer?
I blame you for putting us through this torture.
I regret everything. Sammy Kelsch.
Yeah.
And obviously, goodbye from me.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to Home Movie Club, part of the That Podcast Thing Network. Find us on Twitter at @podcast_thing and on Facebook by searching for That Podcast Thing. Please like and subscribe for news of our future episodes coming soon.
Damn, what was I going to say?
I don't know, but I need to get a tissue. I'll be right back.
Yep. Pausing while the snot is rolling. There we go.
I like
that. That was amazing! That was amazing! That is a skill! That was so cute!